When it comes to weapons deals, America is number one. A report released this week by the Congressional Research Service found that the U.S. sold nearly $17 billion worth of weapons to other countries last year. For more on who we're selling to and what we're selling, we turn now to Bill Hartung. He's director of the Arms and Security Initiative at the New America Foundation. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
Let's start off with Iraq. Last week, Pentagon officials told Congress of a plan to sell more than $2 billion in weapons to Iraq. That's a lot of money and a lot of weapons. If that deal does go through, how are the Iraqis going to come up with that kind of money to buy these weapons?
Well, as far as we know now, it's going to come out of their oil revenues, which, of course, they have many other needs in terms of rebuilding the country and so forth. So it's almost counterintuitive that this would be the way it was carried out. But that seems to be the current plan.
And then who does the money go to here in the U.S.?
Well, it cycles through the Pentagon, and then it will go to U.S. defense contractors. So it's kind of a transfer from, you know, Iraqi resources to major contractors here in the United States.
And what kind of weapons are we talking about selling to Iraq?
A lot of it is small arms, ammunition, explosives, things that may be put to use in the current conflict. There's also talk of armored vehicles and things like that. The Iraqis have been kind of at the end of the queue in terms of getting some of the updated armored vehicles. The U.S. forces got first dibs on those.
Once we've sold these weapons to Iraq, who monitors them to make sure that they don't wind up in the wrong hands?
Well, this is a big problem. There was a case of more than 100,000 automatic rifles and pistols that went missing that were supplied by the United States to Iraq. And
that's a lot of weapons.
Yes, it's an amazing amount. And there's still some question as to where they went. Speculation is some may have gone to militias, some may have gone to insurgents, some may have gone to Kurdish organizations waging war against the Turkish government. So given that record, it's of some concern whether the Pentagon and the military have put in new monitoring mechanisms or whether it's just going to go into the same black hole that these earlier weapons went into.
So if this deal goes through, how do you think a new infusion of weapons is going to affect the U.S.'s mission in Iraq?
Well, there's a danger that they'll end up being used against our troops. Just because of this loose system of controlling them on the part of the Iraqi government. And the Iraqi government itself has in the past been penetrated by insurgents. Some of the militias that have joined the armed forces there are sectarian Shia militias. So there's still a strong possibility that they will be siphoned off and some of them might be used against our own troops.
In addition to Iraq, we're selling all sorts of weapons to all sorts of other countries. Who else are we selling to, and what does that say to you about the Bush administration's global priorities?
Some of the big recipients in the most recent year have been Pakistan, which is buying F-16 combat aircraft, Saudi Arabia, which was having its entire National Guard re-equipped and retrained, and Singapore is a big buyer. There's been sales to the Philippines as part of counterinsurgency activity there. So other than perhaps Latin America, where the big recipient is Colombia through the Plan Colombia military aid program, pretty much every continent has a major U.S. arms recipient, if not several. And I think part of the problem with that is, first of all, a lot of these countries have better uses for their money than buying big weapon systems. Second of all, a lot of them are human rights abusers or undemocratic governments. We've been doing monitoring of that, and most years, two-thirds to three-quarters of the volume of U.S. arms transfers going to developing countries go to either undemocratic governments or major human rights abusers as defined by our own State Department. So, you know, I think this is not really the best way to promote democracy. It's not really a good way to promote stability. I think to some degree it's kind of a holdover from the Cold War when the United States armed proxies to go up against Soviet proxies. But in the war on terror, it's a whole different situation because you've got this kind of diffuse adversary. It's got cells in many different countries, but there's going to be very few opportunities to, you know, actually shoot them down in some sort of conventional battle. So you get a lot of the downsides of arms sales, but you don't really get a lot of the purported benefits that were used to justify these sales during the Cold War.
Following the U.S. is Russia and Britain. They place second and third in the list of top weapons dealers. Who are they selling to, and is that anything that we should be concerned about?
Well, Russia's big clients in terms of dollars are China and India, but they're also selling to Iran, to Venezuela, So there's kind of a splitting of the market where Russia is selling to potential U.S. adversaries. The Bush administration has raised objections to that. But, of course, when they're the biggest exporter in the world, it's a little harder for them to take the moral high ground on those sorts of things. Britain mostly sells to the Middle East. They've got an ongoing deal with the Saudis for combat aircraft. That's been clouded by allegations of bribery going back probably a decade or more. So, you know, those are the main kind of sources of major income from weapons sales.
Bill Hartung of the New America Foundation, thanks so much.
Thank you.